Amen. Let's sign him up. One, two. Floyd Kramer's got nothing on our Tony. Isn't that right? Good evening. If you have your Bibles, turn with me now to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. It's good to be with you in the house of the Lord. I want to thank our Lord Jesus and our sweet, sweet pastor, generous as he is, in sharing the pulpit he's been entrusted for the opportunity to preach God's word. It's good to be with the church. We'll be looking in Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Now, Diane, I heard you had some grandkids that got baptized today. Is that right? Isn't God good? Amen. Amen. Well, that's good news. Louise had shared that with me. And were there other families who had kids baptized, Pastor? Two or three others, probably. Amen. Joy to all. Five total children. Amen. How wonderful. Well, we believe in baptism, don't we, as believers? Amen. Matthew chapter 4, we begin in verse 1. I look out and see the church family tonight. I see a new mother-in-law, don't I? And a new father-in-law, don't I? All right. It's good. It's good, good, good. Isn't that right, Lawrence family? Yeah. Amen. I want to speak on this subject tonight. Here's the entire title. Temptation. What is it that's keeping you, or tempting you, pardon me, to get away from Jesus? Temptation. What is it that's tempting you to get away from Jesus? If you have your place and are able, those who are able, please stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 4. I've got a chapter heading in my Bible. It says, Satan tempts Jesus. Then Jesus was led up, verse 1 says, by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now, beloved, I can't go 40 minutes without thinking about food. And here's our Lord going nearly 6 weeks without a bite to eat or nothing to drink. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now we're at verse 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came, and the word of God says, ministered to him. And may God bless unto us the reading of his word. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we're thankful for this brief pause in our routine this day to worship you in the beauty of holiness, to seek your word for a remedy to temptation. We give you praise that you leave us not hanging on a limb, but instead tell us how to do it. We love you. We pray at this very moment that you would visit us in a special way this day. I'd ask that you'd fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and use me for the welfare of those who will be listening and for your glory. I would pray that you would touch every heart this night. Make each of us, starting with me, be receptive to the word of God that brings glory to Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Temptation. What is it that's tempting you to get away from Jesus? It's interesting to me in this day and age that there is much to be said about preventative medicine. There's employee exercise and health programs or participation plans. Even get a little off a price break off of your insurance, perhaps, if you're participating in your employer's insurance plan with all types of preventative medicine. In fact, we visit these days the jawbreaker, the dentist, twice a year just to be preventative, you know? Hope there's no dentist in the crowd tonight. I remember as a child, we'd only go to the dentist, wouldn't we? My sister's sitting here tonight with my wife. We'd only go to the dentist if we had an issue. But they've gotten away from that, thank the Lord, and have come to an issue of preventative medicine. And then, of course, there's always a recommendation for an annual physical. All of that regarding preventative medicine, beloved, is done to fight health issues on the front end, rather than spending too much money, too much time, and too much effort fighting health on the back end. So I get it. It makes sense. And today I want to give us, from God's Word, I want to provide some preventative medicine to help us fight temptation on the front end, so that we don't have to deal with, listen, sin on the back end. So we need to write down just a few things, find a blank piece of paper somehow, some way, and let's talk about three steps to battle temptation. The first step is we are not to be surprised by temptation. We're to expect it. If we are blood-bought believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not to be surprised by temptation, but we are instead to expect it. Why? Well, our text gives us the answer. Here it is, our Lord Jesus, 40 days in the desert. He is led by the Spirit of God. He is under the will of God. He is filled with the power of God, yet we see him tempted. Now that ought to tell you and I something, beloved, about temptation. We think in such an opposite terms. We think that if we're tempted, we must be doing something wrong, or there must be something wrong with us. Listen, if you're tempted, there may be something very right with you. Because if you're tempted, you're not wrong. If you're tempted, you're not out of God's will. If you're tempted, you're not living a substandard Christian life. Friends, if you're tempted, that doesn't mean you're living a disobedient life. Jesus never came closer to God than those 40 days, 40 days of isolation, 40 days of concentration, 40 days of communication, just him and God. Luke records for us in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, then Jesus, listen, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. So we see the picture. 40 days in the wilderness, just being hammered by the devil. I mean just after him, hitting on him, bugging him. That ought to tell us that we're going to have temptation in our life as well. Jesus, the very Son of God, of our Lord, being tempted. The issue is we confuse temptation with sin. And it's not a sin to be tempted. The temptation is not the sin. Now, this is a good time to say verse 7 in our text really spells it out for us. We realize that Jesus is the God-man. Perfect man, perfect God. Well, Jesus told the devil right there in verse 7 not to tempt God. Isn't that right? It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So the one being tempted in the wilderness and in the desert of our Lord was the human side of our Lord. Yes, we should expect temptation. In fact, Peter had a word for us about it in 1 Peter 5 and 8. He tells us to be alert, doesn't he? He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Beloved, when it comes to temptation, don't be surprised by temptation. Expect it. It's going to come. But number two, don't be fooled by temptation. Detect it. Matthew chapter 4 denotes three ways that the devil came to Jesus. By the way, it's the same three ways he comes to you and to me. So you may want to pay attention to this piece. We can expect temptation that appeals to the physical. You haven't closed your Bible yet, have you? Verse 2 of our text. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Do you get the idea here? The way the devil comes at Jesus is the way he comes at you and me. And he first comes tempting us in the physical. Just hammering Jesus for 6 weeks. Remember, the Word of God says that God led him to the desert. And had Jesus ended that fast any other way than God had intended for that fast to be ended, he would have denied the will of the Heavenly Father. Now, it's important to realize nothing's wrong with physical desires. Just don't let your physical desires be your God. Avoid having it your way mentality. Avoid putting the physical before anything else. By the way, let me ask you, in the Garden of Eden, what was the first temptation? Wasn't it one of the physical? Don't eat of that fruit. However, if the devil cannot get to you in a physical capacity, he will tempt you in an emotional capacity. So we can expect temptation that appeals to our emotions. Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. And it goes on, it says, for it is written. Well, if the devil can't get to us physically, he's going to come to us emotionally. And the devil knows that we test God by doing what we feel we should do. instead of doing what we know that we ought to do. We are not to test our Heavenly Father, beloved, in that regard. We are to trust our Heavenly Father instead. But if the devil can't get to us physically, and if he can't get to us emotionally, he will come to us spiritually. And verses 8 and 9 of our text address that one. Look what it says. Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" The devil came at Jesus the way the devil comes at you and me. First, physically, second, emotionally, and if that doesn't work, he'll come against us spiritually. See, I believe that the devil showed Jesus all the kingdoms of all the world in a bid to have our Lord give in. Hard to turn that offer down, wouldn't it? If you just bow down one time. But praise the Lord, our Lord Jesus resisted. Here's the note. We've got to be careful. The devil was offering all the worlds of all the kingdoms to Jesus, which is really the same payoff or offering that our Lord had for Jesus as well. But the devil was doing it without the cross. The devil was giving him and showing him all the kingdoms of all the world, and the devil wanted him to bow down and worship him, the devil. Giving him everything but the cross, where there be no shame, where there be no shed blood, where there be no nailing of the flesh, where there be no humiliation, where there be no suffering, where there be no sorrow, where there be no pain. Because the devil, friends, can be the shortcut fellow. And the devil wanted Jesus to be the shortcut Savior. The devil is the master of the shortcut. And when he wants you to worship him, and if he can give you to give in to him spiritually, through spiritual temptation, he will have you right where he wants you. Yet our Lord is a loving God, a jealous God. And God wants us to worship him and worship him alone. He wants 100% of our absolute loyalty. He wants 100% of our absolute love. He wants 100% of our absolute surrender. So don't be fooled by temptation. Detect it. Number one, in fighting temptation, number one, don't be surprised by temptation. Expect it. Number two, don't be fooled by temptation. Detect it. But here's the third thing. Don't be defeated by temptation. Reject it. Now, Jesus had two weapons to reject and defeat the devil. By the way, it's the same two weapons you and I have. The weapons were, Jesus was led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. And the second weapon was, he was armed with the Scripture. That's the same tools you and I have, the same weapons. You see, to be led by something, Jesus was led by the Spirit. To be led by something or someone, you have to follow it. And to follow, you have to surrender. And when you surrender, Jesus surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God. My friends, you and I can surrender to the Holy Spirit of God when we're tempted. And we don't have to give in to the temptation. But Jesus also knew the scripture. Jesus didn't talk back to the devil. Did you notice? He didn't argue with Satan. He didn't debate Satan. He didn't try to outwit Satan. He just said, it is written. Here's what I'm saying. When the devil comes against us, and he's ready to give his knockout punch, all we have to do is remember the littlest bit of scripture. And we won't have to give in to the temptation. You say, well, I can't think of scripture when I'm under attack. Sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Pray. I get flustered when the devil comes against me and tempts me. Just start yelling Jesus. Just start yelling Jesus. Our Lord knew the scripture. He said, it is written. Hey, that makes a pretty good argument for us to dig in the Word of God, doesn't it? We can fight temptation the same way. Hey, we can be led of the Holy Spirit, surrendered to the Lord, and we can dig into the Word of God. Hey, we can even carry a pocket Bible with us. They make them real small these days. You know, real small. Every time we try to fight temptation on our own, and every time we try to fight temptation going it alone, we are setting ourselves up to fail. But if we will realize every moral and ethical temptation that comes into our life, there is a word from God, and we can follow and know that we are in His will for our life. And we can reject the temptation. Pretty strong. Been thinking about premarital sex? The Word of God can keep you from that sin. Been thinking about extramarital activity, sex? Word of God can keep you from that sin. Been thinking about not forgiving that knucklehead relative? Word of God can keep you. It is written. It is written. It is written. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now here's the key. There's only two things when we're tempted. We're going to do one of two things. We're going to surrender to God and resist the devil, or we're going to surrender to Satan and resist God. May I recommend to you the first one? Surrender to our Lord. Resist the devil. And he, the Word of God says, will flee. Isn't that powerful? Interesting parallel. How our Lord, as the God-man, was tempted. It's the same way we're tempted. And the devil came at him the same way he comes at us. First physical, then emotional. By the way, our emotions lie to us all the time, don't they? And then if he doesn't get us on the physical or the emotional, he'll come on the spiritual. All for us to bow down to him. Just once. But instead, let's you and I surrender, want to our Lord. And let's reach for the Word of God. And let's watch that devil flee. One, two. Because those are the steps that we need to take to battle temptation. As our musicians make their way, we're at a place in our service where we offer an invitation. Now, why do we do it? Because the Word of God says, the Spirit and Bride says, come. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and are heavy laden. Come, and I will give you rest. So I'm just wondering if there's somebody here this very night who's been so blasted tempted that you want to give that over to the Lord. You've not sinned. You've just been tempted. You can come and give that over to the Lord. And you can rededicate your life right today. There may be some who want to join this sweet fellowship. We have a wonderful church, a sweet, sweet pastor. He's here. He'll receive you for church membership. Maybe there's someone here tonight who does not know the Lord in a personal way through faith and trust in Jesus. And you've been thinking that you're a pretty bad person because you've been tempted. In fact, you've been thinking that you're a pretty bad person because you've been giving in to the temptation. And you've flat been sinning. There's no sin that the Lord Jesus shed blood can't cover. You can come. We'd encourage you to come for salvation. Now, does walking the aisle of a Baptist church save our soul? No. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that word believe carries everything we know with it related to confession and repentance. We turn from our way of living and turn towards our Lord. We do it through faith. He'll save our soul. He'll give us the promise of everlasting life. And He'll forgive our sin. Hallelujah. Let's stand, let's sing. And on the very first word, if you have business to do with the Lord, let me encourage you to do that now, won't you? Don't delay. Let's sing.